Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappan Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Bronco Nagurski Long Underwear Factory here at Car Talk Plaza.
Get this now. Speaking of Bronco Nagurski.
I just was. How interesting.
Here's a letter from Charlie Finn, who couldn't put it on the back of a $20 bill, but he did put it on the back of a $10. He said, after listening to your show for many years and wondering what Bronco Nagurski had to do with cars, imagine my surprise when I read the following in a old Reader's Digest. After football great Bronco Nagurski retired from the game, he lived in International Falls, Minnesota. You probably knew that.
Yes, I did know that.
Where he opened a gasoline station. Did you know that?
Sonia Henny's
tutu. No. Bronco Nagurski. A local car dealer taking a visiting district manager on a tour said, see that guy over there? That's Bronco Nagurski. He owns that station. He's got the best repeat business in town. The manager said that he wasn't surprised since Nagurski was a legend in the Midwest. No, it's not that, the car dealer replied. It's just that when Bronco screws on your gas cap, nobody else can get it off. And he says, I bet he was wearing his Bronco Nagurski long underwear up there in International Falls while he was pumping gas. Charlie Finn.
If he lived in International Falls, he must have been wearing those long johns.
And we didn't even know. Now, on the other side of this, I just got to give you the good side. That's the good side of mechanics. Here's a note from Mary Ellen Stone of Washington, Redmond, Washington. This is the police blotter, King County. A woman allegedly tried to run, you're probably familiar with this, a woman allegedly tried to run her mechanic over with her car after she was presented with the bill. Can you imagine?
Yeah, so what's on your bill about that?
The mechanic told police that the woman accused him of ripping her off and refused to pay him. He said she then got into her car and drove toward him. He said he fell onto the car hood as she continued to drive the car another 20 feet before he was able to get off. I mean, you can see this guy sprawled across the hood. The woman told police her car never came in contact with the mechanic, not me, no, but that he chased her off the lot, yelling at her as she drove across the street to park her car. She said she returned to the lot to pick up her other car. The police officer noted that the mechanic was limping when he arrived. I love it. They deserve it. Every one of them deserves it.
I have a limp, too, as a
matter of fact. Except Brooke. What are all those black and blue marks on your cheek?
Well, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Adrian calling from Vail, Colorado.
Hi, Adrian.
Adrian, Vail.
I have a standard 2001 Subaru Outback, and my husband and I have this ongoing debate about using cruise control, and a small wager to go along with it. But as you know,
we won't ask
whose side you're on, so we'll be so that way we can be impartial.
That's okay. Not what I meant, but okay. Fine. That okay. Too.
Oh, that too. Oh, what the wager is? Oh, we may ask about that.
It has to do with shoveling snow, but
okay.
As you know, there are lots of really high mountain passes in Colorado, and when we go to Denver, which is about 100 miles away, there are two 10,000-foot passes that we have to go over.
And y'all wacko.
Victoria's Secret doesn't enter into the wager, does it?
No.
I know. I mean, just, you know.
Are you going to tell us that y'all wacko husband puts cruise control on as he's going through these mountain passes? Are you going to tell us that?
No, what I'm going to tell you is that he puts it on going down the back side of the pass. And my questions are these. One, does it engage the braking system at all if you start to exceed the speed that it's set for?
No.
And two...
And two, is my husband crazy? Yes.
No, if it doesn't, is it bad for our car at all?
Well, you know, if... It would only maintain the speed to the extent that the engine and the transmission together could maintain the speed. For example, if you had the thing in fifth gear and you had the cruise control set for 35 miles an hour.
You'd be dead.
It would just keep going faster and faster and faster, of course, depending upon the steepness of the hill.
Right.
And no, they wouldn't put the brakes on. There are a couple of cars, I think, which do that, but this isn't one of them.
Most cars don't.
Most cars figure you most people aren't that stupid to set it going downhill. And
but they've never met your husband. Is he kind of a devil-may-care kind of guy?
No, he's
Is he a wacko skier?
He's a great skier.
Ah, see? He's a great skier, and so he thinks that the faster you go down a hill, the more fun it is.
Well, it is, and he's trying to, he's not getting enough skiing in.
Well, he actually skis for a living, so.
Oh, he does. You should never, in my opinion, never use cruise control when you're going down a very long hill.
Unless, in fact, you can set it and put it in the proper gear, because you can put it in cruise control at 40 miles an hour and put it in second gear.
But this cruise control doesn't do anything. If you can put it in second gear and it will stay there, it would probably stay there without cruise control. You're not gaining anything by using the cruise control. You're only putting yourself in potential danger. It's a silly, crazy thing to do.
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have to agree with my brother.
Okay.
Disable the thing. The guy's crazy.
Yeah, pull the wires out.
Pull the wires out. He shouldn't be allowed to have cruise control.
Even if you're
even if nothing. He's crazy. Cruise control. The guy's climbing Mount Everest on cruise control. What?
Adrian, call the guys in the white coats before it's too late. Save yourself. Run.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your
Wow.
Thanks for your call.
I'm glad you called because, seriously, this is a very, very dangerous thing to do.
Okay.
Is he an engineer?
He's a ski instructor. He's a ski bum.
No, he's not.
he's probably an MD.
No. I'm the nurse, so I can
Oh, you're
take
a
care
nurse.
Oh, it's good that you're a nurse.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, he'll need it. Never mind.
Yeah, please tell him not to do this anymore.
Okay.
That would be good.
Thank you, and happy holidays to you.
Same
hey,
to you,
same
Adrian.
To you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK.
Is there no end?
888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Peter Schulman calling from your old alma mater in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Which one is that? We've got about four.
The MIT.
Oh, that one.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, Peter.
What do you do at MIT?
Should we recognize your name since you gave us your whole name? And we're just boors and yahoos, and we don't know who you are, and you're world famous?
No, not yet. I'm a graduate student now studying the history of science.
Oh, no kidding.
The history of science.
Yes.
That's an interesting field, isn't it?
I like it.
Yeah.
I was an undergrad in math and found that I was more interested in sort of social context.
Yeah, and math is too damn hard. I loved math, too, until I became
a
junior.
Long division. That was a killer for
then
me.
Then math got really hard. It became too damn abstract.
Well, they stopped using numbers at a certain point.
Yeah, I mean, if they stop using numbers, you know you're in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
That's the level at which you say, oh, no.
Yeah, you know you're not cut out to be a mathematician. Anyway, what's going on, Peter?
Well, I've got a 1991 Honda Accord station wagon. And the other night, I was leaving my office to pick up my girlfriend at the airport in Providence. And when I got to my car, I realized that I had left the lights on and the battery died. Mm-hmm. So I went back inside to try to find someone to help. And when I came back out, I found that the alarm was going off. And, I mean, one thing went from bad to worse, basically, and I was able to flag down a really nice couple in a pickup truck who were there to help me jumpstart the car, and when I went to the trunk to get the jumper cables out, as soon as I opened it, the alarm went off again.
Right.
And so I'm wondering, if the battery was dead, why was this the one thing that was going off?
Did it sound kind of weak, instead of the usual ear-piercing, wow, wow, was it more wow, wow?
It was really loud, and the weird thing was, I don't think I've heard the alarm. I've been driving this car since the beginning of the summer, and I've never even thought about the alarm. I've forgotten I had an alarm. This was a car I inherited from my family.
So you're not familiar with how loud. I mean, it may be a lot louder now.
I mean, it's possible. It's certainly reasonable that the alarm could be going off while the battery can't start your car. I don't find any problem with that.
So there's still enough juice in the battery?
There's still enough juice to run the siren, if it's or the horn or whatever it is.
There was enough to run your headlights.
Yeah, because it doesn't take very much juice to run a siren or a horn compared to the juice it takes to turn over a starter motor.
Was there any logical reason why it would trigger the alarm?
It's possible that something in the alarm system triggers when the battery's dead.
No, or those alarm systems are very sensitive to voltage drops. So, obviously, if you disconnect the battery, the alarm won't go on at all. But we often have situations where we will disconnect the battery and then hook it back up, and the alarm goes off. So by the battery going dead, it may have been, it may have triggered the alarm.
I have to say, these alarm systems are a mystery to me because we drive a lot of cars that are loaned to us by manufacturers. And it's happened to me a dozen times over the past years that I do nothing different that I can think of. I put the key in the lock and I unlock the door and I get in and the alarm goes off. And I don't understand why it does that. The alarm is crazy.
Because your wife is sitting two blocks away pushing the panic button on the remote control.
Trying to drive you nuts. Gaslight me?
Figure that out. Now, I suspect your alarm got triggered by the drop in battery voltage.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think it's going to happen again. I wouldn't worry about that.
I'm going to check my lights more often.
I would just check your lights and don't leave them on at night.
Yeah, now, you know, you can have the alarm disconnected, but... Huh. It's actually kind of nice to know that you have an alarm, isn't it?
Well, I was surprised, pleasantly. I mean, not at the time, but now, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
See you, Peter.
Good, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jane. I'm calling from Durham, North Carolina.
Hi, Jane.
Hello, Jane.
Now, you sound like a very together person.
I have to say.
That's my talent, sounding together on the telephone.
You sound like a college professor. Are you?
No, I work at a university, but not on the academic side.
You don't, not on the academic side.
No,
well, you
no.
should.
You should. You have that soothing, that comforting tone in your voice.
Are you involved in social work?
Sort of. I'm getting
close.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Are you
social activities.
Social
uh-huh.
activities.
Mm-hmm.
Volleyball.
No. She organizes the beer blasts.
That's
the term
right.
beer
How
blasts.
You know? Yeah.
She has that. She has that calming kind of
yes, you do.
Voice.
In fact, my brother just nodded off twice already.
I need therapy.
You're getting it. You don't know it yet.
I need someone like Jane to say, "Okay, Tommy, let's just calm down now." See, and that would work.
I spend a lot of time doing that. Yes.
See that?
So how can we calm you down? What's up?
Well, I'm calm.
I know.
The gas tank on my vehicle is apparently getting smaller and smaller over time.
That does happen.
Really?
Gas tank shrinkage. Yeah.
Maybe it's been washed in too hot of water. Or,
uh-huh. That happens.
You know, it's kind of warm down here in the summertime.
Oh, the dryer level was, yeah. The temperature was too high.
Yes.
They're made out of wool, you know, these gas tanks.
This van started when I purchased it with a 12-gallon gas tank. And uh-huh. at this moment, it seems to be down to 5.5 gallons.
Cool. What kind of a vehicle is this?
It's a minivan. It's a Chrysler product.
Like a Dodge Caravan or a Plymouth Voyager?
Yeah.
You don't know.
I don't know. It's blue.
Blue van. I got that.
I see that you have a high level of involvement with your vehicle.
And this had a 12-gallon tank? Oh no, it had more than that.
It did?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So you got shortchanged right from the get-go.
So it had already started this process when I acquired it.
Do you have any idea how old this vehicle is?
Well, what year did they make the blue ones?
Well, I'll tell you, they didn't make any blue ones in the early 80s.
Okay.
They didn't make any in the early 80s. 84 was the first year they made a minivan.
Is it very old? Or?
I don't think so. I mean, it's...
Did you buy it?
Yes, I bought it from my father.
Ah, okay. And I see.
He bought it from somebody else.
Is it light blue or dark blue?
It's light blue and kind of has some stripes on it.
I'd say that was in the late 80s.
Late 80s, me too. 88, 89.
The light blue.
Four-cylinder engine? How would she know that?
How would she know cylinders? She doesn't even know what the hell the name of the thing is.
Stick shift or automatic?
Automatic.
Automatic.
And so, in the old days, as you can remember, filling it up, and it would take like 12 gallons of gas if the gauge read empty.
Yes, it would take 12 gallons.
And now, when it's on empty?
It will take five.
Five and a half.
Mm-hmm. This has happened gradually over time.
Mm-hmm. And when you fill it up, like mm-hmm. that, it's full. You know it's full because the nozzle shuts off.
Uh-huh.
And the needle goes to full.
And the needle goes to full.
Yes.
Now, can you remember whether the time that it takes to get from full to empty is any different from it used to be when you used to put 12 gallons of gas?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I have to fill up much more often.
Right. Of course that. You have to fill up about
twice as often.
Right.
Is that right?
That's good. I like this. Yes. I like this. So it's going down to empty twice as fast as it used to.
Right.
Okay.
Great news.
Here's
because
what you're going to
have to do. That makes life very simple.
Okay.
It does.
It does.
Here's what you're going to have to do. Go to your local hardware store and buy yourself a gas can. The kind that you would use to fill up, you know, for your lawnmower.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And fill it up with gas and fill up your gas tank as well.
You're going to tell me to try to run out of gas.
Not try.
Do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep driving until, and you're going to see that it's going to take a long time after that needle says empty.
Yeah.
Really?
Before you run out. Sure, because what's happened is the sending unit in the tank has stopped working correctly.
Okay.
Now, if you're lucky, the fuel pump is going to conk out at the same time. So you replace the whole thing comes as one unit.
Fuel pump?
Yeah. Fuel pump and sending unit.
Because it's inside the gas tank.
Oh, okay.
Replace that, the gas gauge will begin to work correctly, and everything will be wonderful.
Well, thank you very much.
See you, Jade.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, it's time to find out if my brother remembers last week's puzzler.
I don't remember last week's puzzler.
You really don't?
I give me a hint.
I don't remember it either. But we'll have the answer in just a minute, so stay tuned. The king of R&B is coming home today. It's bumper touching bumper on the motorway. The sun is in the sky just now, but the road is gray. They drive the Winnebagoes from the Everglades, pulled over by the troopers in the mirror shades.
And even though snowmen everywhere pray for temperatures in the upper 40s whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hi, this is Morning Edition co-host David Greene, and the truth is, I don't even like cars, with one exception, the cars you guys donate to us. Did you know that your old car can be turned into Morning Edition, All Things Considered, or Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me? Kind of makes you like cars, doesn't it? Turn your car into the programs you love. Here's how to do it.
For more information, visit the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program at cartalkvdp.com. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzle.
Right, let me see how many sentences you have to go through before I...
Oh, you're going to get it on the first sentence.
Go ahead.
I'm going to set the scene.
Go ahead.
The time, World War II. The place.
Got it! Portugal! Lisbon!
Merry old England.
A hotbed of intrigue! Yeah.
I'll give you the abbreviated version, which I couldn't do last week because you kept interrupting me.
Yeah, go ahead.
In a secret laboratory, a small group of scientists is working on a project. They have made a discovery, something that they know will greatly aid in the Allied effort against the Germans. Furthermore, this discovery will also benefit mankind for years to come and could easily turn the tide of the war. This is heavy duty.
This is heavy.
This isn't heavy duty. I mean, they didn't invent stink bombs or anything. This is big stuff.
Yeah, these
or the whoopee cushion.
It wasn't the whoopee cushion.
That was your guess, huh?
Damn.
Included in this group is a German scientist who has recently escaped the clutches of the Nazis, and they're working on a project that had been abandoned by a Scottish scientist more than 10 years earlier. Mm. So now, finally, after many disappointments, they finally have success. One of them cries out, "Eureka!" Or whatever the English version of Eureka is.
And the German says, "Same to you, pal."
Anyway, they know they've got something big here, and they apply for a grant from the British government. To their amazement and great disappointment, the grant comes through for £50.
Brits.
These guys say £50.
Can't even have breakfast for £50.
Come on. The only way we can get this thing into the war effort is to go to America and try our luck there. So they leave England. But leaving England and going to the U.S. is dangerous with the German U-boats patrolling the North Atlantic.
I remember it well.
So in order to make their way safely, they decide to sail under the flag of a neutral country.
Switzerland.
Portugal. Oh. Switzerland doesn't sail.
They don't have an ocean?
They don't have an ocean.
They don't have an armada? The Swiss armada?
So they make their way to Lisbon.
Yeah.
Okay, and from there they plan
a hotbed. I want to get to the hotbed sentence.
To disembark to America. Now, of course, Lisbon is a hotbed,
yes, a hotbed.
Of spies, counterinsurgents, insurgents.
And bacalao peddlers.
Saboteurs. And they know that if the discovery gets into the wrong hands, there could be dire consequences.
Yeah.
So they need to hide it. So they take their discovery. You ready for this? And they hide it on their clothing. On their clothing, Jerry! And with the discovery hidden on their clothing, they make their way to America, and the rest is history.
I got it. They invented the boutonniere. Now, how did that benefit mankind? Think about all the proms that you would have gone to bare-chested.
That's right.
Wow, the boutonniere, huh?
You're the boutonniere.
Am I right?
Close.
Well, it wasn't the whoopee cushion.
Yeah. Well, what they discovered was something. They discovered something that aided the war effort, and they knew, as most military students knew, that the greatest cause of fatalities in warfare is not the actual gunshot wound, but it's the ensuing infection. In fact, most people die in the battlefield because they get a minor wound, but a major infection, and the infection kills them.
Yeah.
And the work that they took up had been started in the 20s by a Scotsman named Alexander Fleming.
How well we know him.
I believe. And what he had discovered by accident was penicillin. But he could never do anything with it because he couldn't develop a strain of it that was reproducible. But these guys had.
Oh, brother.
And when they had the penicillin mold, rather than carrying it in little petri dishes.
Yeah, of course.
They decided if they were apprehended by Nazis.
They rubbed it on their clothes.
They had it on their clothes so that when they got to America, they could do a little scraping. And that's in fact what they did. And of course, it saved many lives. It allowed soldiers that got wounded to go back and get killed.
Well, wait a minute. Now, if they were going to do that.
Yes.
And rub it on their clothes, it was going to smell bad, probably. Why didn't they?
Scientists always smell bad.
But why didn't they go through France? Then no one would have noticed.
Well. They would have, but France, unfortunately, was not
was
a neutral
occupied
country.
Occupied at the time.
France was their first choice.
Okay. Is that it?
Of course, the hint I had given last week was chicken soup, which everyone knows is Jewish penicillin.
Of course. I didn't get that hint.
Well, I knew you didn't, because you didn't get anything. You didn't remember anything.
The whoopee cushion and the boutonniere were my two guesses.
Do we have a winner, at least?
We do. Wow. Yeah. Get this. The winner of all, what a coincidence. The winner is Malaise Lindenfeld.
No kidding.
Malaise.
How apropos.
What a strange name. She's from Coconut Grove, Florida, and for having her correct answer chosen, Malaise is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division, and that should end your malaise, I would say.
Indeed. Now, we'll have a new puzzler coming up, a mathematical puzzler of sorts, in the third half of today's show. So try to stay awake at least until then. In the meantime, you can call us and ask us a question or many questions about your car.
You don't have to ask a question, you know. You can just make a comment.
Or you can give an answer.
You can give us an answer.
Wouldn't that be unusual?
Wouldn't that be good? People give us the answer, we give them the question.
Let's try it. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Meredith from Red Hook.
Hi, Meredith. How many spark plugs does your car have?
Meredith from Red Hook.
Yeah.
New Jersey?
No, New York, actually.
New York.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
I have no idea how many spark plugs my car has, but I do know I have an 87 Saab, and I'm having a lot of trouble getting it started. I'll start it in the morning, and it starts up just fine, but if I go to run an errand or something, I turn it off for like 10 or 15 minutes, and I go back to it, and it won't start. It just buzzes and won't even turn over.
The pistachio ice cream puzzler. it doesn't even turn over.
No, it won't even turn. It just buzzes.
So you get no sound whatsoever.
No.
It buzzes. She gets a buzz. Buzz is a sound.
Well, I mean, no, none of the classic starting sounds.
No.
I meant. I'm sorry.
And then how do you get it started?
Well,
you call AAA.
No. Well, Saabs have to be in reverse, you know. So
yeah.
I have it in reverse, and I just have to hold it really hard, hold the gear shift really hard to the left or to the right, and just in awkward positions. And I'll finally, it'll start to turn over and go. And amateurs have told me that it's the starter. Is that?
No, those that's why they're amateurs. Yeah.
Right.
But you have now come to the professionals.
Yeah, we're going to tell you it's the starter.
I think there's not enough radar coolant in the radio.
But you say, but when you do hold the gear shift,
yeah,
does it reliably every single time start up?
No.
I didn't think so.
You've never had to call AAA, or you have?
No.
She doesn't
have
AAA. Why would she call AAA if she's not a member?
Just to say hello.
What good is that going to do?
Oh, God. So when it hasn't worked, what have you done to start it?
I just keep trying the gear shift in different positions until eventually it starts.
You know what you need?
What do I need?
You need a starter.
I do.
Well, you could. I mean, playing with the gear shift is a red herring here. You do have, however, attached to your clutch pedal in this car, a switch which prevents you from starting the car unless the clutch pedal is depressed.
I've been depressed like that myself. You've got two switches that you need to start this car.
Right.
Between the starter there and the battery and the battery.
No, you don't need to be in reverse to start the car. You
yes.
need to be in reverse to take the key out.
You need to be in reverse
so
to take
the car
key.
Stalls on the highway,
you throw it
in reverse?
Yeah.
No, the car will start in any gear. You cannot take
or
the,
no gear.
You cannot take the key out unless the car is in reverse.
Right. The reverse thing is a red herring, but the clutch is not a red herring. When it cranks, after you get in the car, you turn the key, nothing's happening. You're diddling around with the shifter, mm-hmm. and nothing happens. And then when it cranks, does it crank just like it's really raring to go? Boom,
yeah.
Starts right up.
Yeah, yep.
And in addition to the buzzing that you get,
right.
do you ever get, as you turn the key to the start position, do you ever get a little clicking sound?
Click. No, I've never heard a click.
Just a little buzzing
just
sound.
Maybe it would help if you made a clicking sound. Well, I mean, it could certainly be that switch that's attached to the clutch pedal, and that's easy enough to verify.
Okay.
In fact, you can have your mechanic replace that switch, or better still, for the purposes of testing it, just to shunt the two wires together.
So that it's out of the circuit.
Okay.
And then if the next time you try to start it, it misbehaves, you know it isn't that, and
okay.
you can just hook that switch back up, and then you can replace the starter motor, which is what your friend suggested.
Okay.
Which is probably the right answer.
Yeah. But the first thing to check would definitely be that interlock switch on the clutch, because that's
okay.
that really, I think, is it.
That's the first thing to check. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you can test it with a paperclip. Literally.
Oh.
Literally.
Oh.
Yeah, you don't do it yourself.
You'll
set the car on fire. See you, Meredith.
And that'll solve
Thanks
the problem, too.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Some people would rather have their car be set on fire.
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure. Most of your cars.
I've had many cars like that.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello. Who am I talking to?
Who do you want to talk to?
I don't care which one of you guys I talk to.
Well, talk to my brother, because he hasn't done anything all day.
Yeah, talk to me.
My name is Morley Safer, and
hey.
I am very angry with both of you.
Uh-oh.
Get in line.
You have spent your careers
yes.
knocking one of the great cars in this country so badly that they don't even bring them in anymore.
Alfa? Peugeot?
Fiat?
Peugeot. There you go.
Peugeot!
Again.
Is this really Morley Safer?
This is really Morley Safer.
You've got nothing better to do than call.
I recognize your voice.
I have been steaming for months. Listening to you two carry on. You two, who we gave such generous airtime to
yeah.
some years ago.
You did, yeah. I remember that. You and Barbara Walters.
With great regret.
Great regret?
You take one of the great motor cars, do nothing but knock. I've been driving a 1989 Peugeot Turbo. Yeah. 505.
Oh, here's what it's all about, Morley. You can't get parts anymore, and you think we're responsible for it.
It goes like a dream, and I'm trying to buy a new one possibly next year, but of course they're not bringing them in anymore because idiots listen to you two.
Are you among those idiots?
the truth of the matter is...
That's the only thing I plead guilty to.
Morley, the truth of the matter is that we never really bad-mouthed the car itself. Wait, listen to me. We never really bad-mouthed the car itself. What we bad-mouthed was the fact, as my brother so eloquently put it, nobody copies the French, and the French copy nobody. Therefore, everything about the car is completely different, and no one can work on it unless his name ends with four vowels in a row.
You sound like a certain mechanic, I know.
You know, sure. I had to have three extra toilets installed in the bathroom at the garage so all the guys could get in there when the Peugeot customers came in.
You guys carry on, you know, breathlessly about all these boring Japanese cars. All look the same, sound the same, smell the same.
That's right.
And
right.
Run the same.
And run, period.
And they give them these absurd names. My car has an honest name.
Yeah, 505.
505.
Yeah.
What could be more decent and honest and undiluting than that? As opposed to, what on earth is a Corolla?
Yeah.
That's true. I mean,
absolutely right.
They have made
that.
Some cutesy sounding names.
And I will accept the criticism that you make here, because we have complained about the fact that the Japanese cars, reliable as they are so boring. You always know you're going to get there. Whereas with a Peugeot, not only do you not know if you're going to get there,
but you're not grateful when you do.
You won't even know if you care when you get there.
You don't know what you're talking about. You're talking about this crouching tiger in my garage.
Yeah. How long has it been in your garage? A crouching tiger. The imagery is beautiful.
If I can beg you to stop cackling for just a moment. Now, given that you have, through your subversion, made it impossible for me to buy a new Peugeot.
Yeah.
What should I get that will give me that kind of capacity, that kind of reliability, economy, all the rest of it?
Well, I'm going to recommend the car.
You still want a wagon?
Yes.
Yes, I do. Yes.
And I have the car for you, Morley. Volvo Cross Country Station Wagon.
I got to tell you something. I tried. I test drove it.
It's pretty small.
Very small.
Not bad.
And for the price, which is pushing 40, more or less, right?
Yes, it is. High 30s.
It's kind of tinny inside.
Yeah.
Cheap plastic, trims, that kind of
thing. Yeah, I agree with you. It isn't a patch to a 505.
Well, I will admit, I wasn't wowed by the faux Carpathian Elm Burrow dashboard. On the other hand, it's a pretty substantial car that you can get serviced.
And tedious to drive, I'm afraid.
You think it's tedious?
Yeah.
Mm.
All right.
So, come on, give me your second choice.
Mercedes makes an E320 wagon.
Yeah. All-wheel drive.
Mercedes.
Yeah.
That might be close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That might be close.
It might not fit your proletarian image. But
yeah.
Listen, fellas, I do drive a Ferrari on the weekends.
Uh-huh. But you may have to look at the Mercedes. That is nice, and it is very roomy.
Uh-huh.
And it's available in four-wheel drive if you want it.
I think that's it for you. And if you have trouble making the payments, my brother will help you out.
See you, Morley.
Okay, on one condition. Oh, I might take your advice.
I knew
we'd
never get rid of him.
Yeah.
On one condition.
Yeah.
I don't want to see you on 60 Minutes again.
You got a deal.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I don't think we were single-handedly or double-handed, underhandedly. We weren't
We may have. This is not the first time that we have been on the forefront of understanding what's really going on in society. And we pointed out to the world what was going on. And slowly the world caught up with us. And they realized the error of their ways. And now that's what happened. We can't be blamed for it. It was simply the power of the truth that did it.
Yeah, it's a little known secret that even the French aren't buying French cars anymore.
Yeah, and just to show you how smart they are, they're buying Fiats. I mean, you talk about morons.
All right, look, it's time. It's pretty obvious. It's time for us to take a little break and give our friends at the stations a chance to chat with their listeners.
Yeah, and when we come back, we'll have sports, the lottery number, news you can use, and my brother will dress up as the weather girl.
I thought it was your turn to dress up as the weather girl. I do it every week. We'll be right back.
I went from four hooves to a four-door truck, driving down the highway, singing songs, courting Lady Luck. But when it seemed that I lost more than I'd won, the tip jar was empty again. All the pretty girls had up and gone, and I ran out of songs to sing.
And even though the NPR nurse checked her Petri dish to see how the laryngitis germs are coming along whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a prison warden and need to send inmates running back to their cells.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Yeah.
Now, I do have some rather convoluted automotive puzzlers in my trash what does he call that? Grab bag.
Grab bag, not trash bag. No.
Well, most of them were retrieved from the trash bag. But since the kiddies are just getting back to school,
yeah,
I thought I would do something to because they've been playing Nintendo for 2 weeks.
Exactly.
Right.
And now it's time
to get
the brain
steal
back
their siblings'
in gear.
Presents. And there are a lot of our little children that listen to Car Talk that are studying algebra.
Yes.
And I thought I would ask them to simplify the following polynomial.
Let me just write this down. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
X plus A in parentheses times X minus B in parentheses times X plus C in parentheses dot, 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 dot times X minus Z, which is the last
Z.
Get it?
So it's parenthesis X plus A, close parenthesis.
Yeah.
Parenthesis X minus B, close parenthesis.
There you go. So I want the product.
The product of all those terms.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and this really shouldn't take that long. I think it's something to just get the brain juices. Are there juices up there? What's up there? You know, how would you know? Now, if you think you know the answer, or just have nothing to do at work and feel like taking a stab at it, mail your answer to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email us your answer from our website, cartalk.com, if you'd like to call us. Or even if you wouldn't like to call us, our number remains 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Mark from Boise.
Mark!
You know, Boise, Idaho.
Oh, yeah, that Boise.
I know.
I'm honored to be talking with you guys.
I even know where Idaho is.
Well,
what's
the only reason he can do that is that he has an eighth grader. And she knows where Idaho is, so he had to learn it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've got an 86 Colt Vista.
Oh, man.
Yeah, with 148,000 miles on it.
Oh, it doesn't get any better, does it?
I got to talk to you about engine lubrication.
Well, these don't need much.
No.
Spin-on oil filters are designed to be bypassed if they get clogged up, correct?
That's right. They have a built-in bypass.
I've got a situation where my daughter crunched the front of the car, and I cannot remove the filter.
Perfect. Leave it on.
So the question I have is, in order to keep this thing going as long as possible, and I don't know how much longer that might be, with that many miles, how frequently should I change the oil?
Oh, to keep the filter from getting clogged up.
Well, the filter's going to clog up.
You'd be surprised.
How long can it go?
How long has it been on there now?
It's been 3,000, 4,000 miles so far.
Oh, you've got, let me tell you. You may not be aware of this, but I own an 87 Colt Vista.
Exactly. That's exactly why I'm talking to you.
Yeah, well, that's right. He wouldn't call because he knows you don't know anything about any other car.
Oh, that's true. Well, I decided some time ago to do an experiment with my Colt Vista in the interest of science.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I decided to never change the oil again. So I'll call you about a week. I'll call you the day mine blows up.
That'd be perfect.
And you'll know how much, you'll probably have thousands of miles left if you're at least changing the oil. I've decided to change not only not the oil, but not the filter either.
Okay.
I've done nothing. I'm merely in top-up mode.
Just today, talk about things being timely. Just today, I was looking through some mail, and we got a note from a guy who lives down the Cape here in Massachusetts, in Brewster, Massachusetts. I think his name was Wells.
Uh-huh.
And since we didn't respond to his letter through our newspaper column, he sent it directly to us.
Death threat included?
Death threat included. And he says Here's my question. He says he somehow was in the Army sometime or other. The Army, he says, did tests. And in these tests, the question was to change the oil or not change the oil.
Uh-huh.
And he has been driving a Ford something or other, has 50,000 miles on it. He's never changed the oil. He says it runs like a dream. And get this. He says the Army tests showed that the best thing to do is don't change the oil. And here's the reason. The engine will be protected by metallic flakes. How about that?
Well, there may be a huge cover-up.
We know that the
involving
the military industrial complex
and the oil. I mean, if anyone could be accused of skullduggery without any information, it's the oil companies.
Oh,
right?
Man. Oh, in your opinion.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
And in the opinion of Oliver Stone.
And General Motors, in my opinion.
So it wouldn't surprise me if this has been foisted on us, this philosophy that we have to change our oil and filter.
Yeah.
To sell more oil.
I've been using Restore in this car, like you suggest, and that seems to help a lot. And that has a lot of metallic flakes of various
things. Doesn't it, though?
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Well, see, they may have... They may be privy to these Army tests. Now, this guy didn't...
They're making that Restore stuff from grinding up old engines.
Well, it's some kind of homeopathic thing.
Exactly.
Right?
You put a little bit of a sick engine into everyone's car,
and
it builds up a resistance to it.
Yeah.
So I could change the oil whenever I feel like it.
I think you should change the oil every 3,000 miles and forget the filter.
Really?
Yeah.
I was going to do like every 2,000, but...
I was going to suggest 10, actually, but...
Well, maybe with your experiment going and my experiment going, we can call this sort of a double-blind medical study.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to change the filter, and I'm not going to change anything.
Yeah, I think the 2,000 or 3,000 is the answer.
Super.
But isn't this a great car?
It's wonderful, except three teenagers have gone through it.
Well, that's
survived.
A testimony to its greatness,
isn't it? Survived three teenagers.
Well, we're on the fourth clutch.
Well, clutches are disposable.
Yeah.
You got to just count on one teenager, one clutch.
Exactly. The first one went 70-some thousand. The last ones have gone 30 or 40,000.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
We've known clutches to go 1,000. That's no joke.
Not in this family.
Good luck, Mark, and keep us posted.
Thanks a lot. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 1-888. I got to tell you a story because...
Go ahead.
Because if I don't tell the story... Sooner or later, everyone's going to know, and I figure the best way, you know, if you did something wrong, the best way is to just do this catharsis.
And get it out.
And get it out
and
there.
And as they say in the media, get it over with.
Get it over with. So I'm going to get it over with.
Tell us everything you did. Did you inhale?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it fumes?
Yeah.
Was it from like a Dodge Colt?
Carburetor. The other day at the shop, we were putting, replacing a couple of calipers on a Mazda, rear calipers. And one of my mechanics had installed them. Manny had installed them. And when he was finished installing them, he asked me if I could help him bleed the brakes. In fact, the car was a Miata. So I say, sure. So he has the car like halfway on the lift. And I kind of jump into it with one leg. And he says, okay. And the way you do this is you pump the brake pedal.
You get pressure.
You get some pressure. He opens the bleeders and a combination of air bubbles and fluid comes out. And you do this until there's no more air coming out and you're done. And, of course, the person inside the car knows that you're done because the brake pedal feels like it should. You know, so he's at the left rear wheel and I'm in the car and I pump the pedal and he says, okay, hold it down. And he opens the bleeder and he says, okay, pump it again. And I do that, and he opens the bleeder. And after three or four times, he says, gee, there's not much coming out here. Hmm. And I say, well, keep trying. There's probably a lot of air in the system. And I do it again. And while I'm doing it, he's kind of leaned over, and he's looking inside the car. And he says to me very quietly, you're pumping the gas pedal. But your secret is safe with me.
Oh, no, it ain't.
Now, I don't know what his definition of the secret is, but there were people coming up to me that entire day that I had never seen before, made contact with in any way, shape, or form.
And were they snickering?
They're saying, most cars have three pedals. The one in the middle is the brake. I mean, so I figure I had to make a clean breast of it, so to speak, because everyone's going to know sooner or later. It's better they know. I better they hear it from me. well, than from Manny, well, if he lives.
But most people will not hear it from you because Manny has set up a website and has sent out an email chain letter.
It's called middlepedal.com.
middlepedal.com. You're right.
Oh, God. Anyway, 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's
sad,
8-8. It is sad.
Sad
it's what happens
when
you get old.
I was once at the pinnacle, recently at the pinnacle of his mental prowess.
And now I can't even pump a brake pedal.
Man.
How fast we have fallen.
Oh, man.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi. This is Barbara.
Hi, Barbara. We've been waiting for you to call.
How nice.
And where are you from?
I'm from Portland, Oregon. But
Portland, Oregon, yeah.
Soon to be from Panama.
No kidding.
And that's what the question's all about.
Really?
I bought 12 acres of rainforest about 1,500 feet off the only road. And I need to know how to get to it. Meaning, is there a difference between four-wheel drive and all-terrain vehicle and all-wheel drive? And which does best?
And two-wheel drive and front-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive.
You want as many wheel drive as you can get. If they have something called eight-wheel drive,
get it.
Go for it. Now, wait a minute. You are living a seemingly fairly comfortable life in Portland, Oregon, and you're about to trade this in.
Yes.
For good? I mean, this is it. You're going to abandon Portland and you're going to move to the rainforest of Panama?
Well, the rain's warm there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you, kid.
No, I mean, I'll tell you, it's warm in San Diego, too.
But it's quiet. There's sloths.
But you can't buy 12 acres in San Diego for $1.59.
And you can't wake up and see a howler monkey outside your window.
That's true.
Thank God.
Well, that's true.
Wow. And so, are you going down there by yourself?
I'm probably going to go with my three relatively grown-up kids.
No kidding.
What was that movie with Harrison Ford?
Yeah.
Did you see that movie?
It was
Mosquito Coast. Did you see it?
She did see it.
See it again. Yeah, and again.
And does this 12 acres have any edifice of any kind on it?
No, that's what we're going to go down to build. And, of course, there's a problem of moving cement 2,000 feet off the road where it's muddy.
Yeah. I mean, as far as getting to where you're trying to go, from the road to where you're going to build the house, the best vehicle would be a Hummer.
A Hummer.
Yeah. But I'm not suggesting that you get a Hummer because the Hummer has tremendous power. It can climb trees. I mean, you couldn't beat it for what you need to do. On the other hand, it costs an outrageous amount of money. And if it broke down, nobody would ever have seen one before. And you'd have to go to the military to get it fixed. And as we know, they're no longer there.
Right.
Oh, they're there.
Oh, they are.
Man.
I know, but they won't admit they're there.
No.
You'll have
to meet them.
To
meet them in the
back
dark
of a cafe.
Out in the West Texas town.
Yeah, I was told to get a truck with four-wheel drive, but
yeah,
I saw that's the one that got stuck in the mud.
Well, no, you want a truck with four-wheel drive, but you more importantly want one that you get from the locals, one that they're familiar with.
Yeah,
that they can get parts for. You don't want to get a Hummer because there aren't any Hummers in Panama. Maybe there are.
And you don't want. I don't think you want something fancy like a Land Rover because they probably aren't a lot of them down there either.
And you don't want something new and expensive because when it disappears in the quicksand. Hey, did you park the truck?
Yeah. What's this hard spot?
I see an antenna. Yeah. So
no, I don't want something. No, I have a very, very, very limited budget.
Yeah, so, I mean, people there must have four-wheel drive vehicles.
You want I'll tell you what you want. You want a 70s vintage.
Uh-huh.
And there will be plenty
probably
of these in Panama.
Probably General Motors.
No, I was going to recommend Jeep Cherokee.
The Grand Cherokee. The Grand Cherokee.
Or Wagoneer.
Ah, that was
you
it.
You want a Jeep Wagoneer.
Big.
Big. Right. And ugly.
Four-wheel drive.
And mean looking.
And heavy. Heavy.
Yeah. Yeah, you want, that's what you want. It'll be easy to get parts for.
Okay.
Like maybe. It'll be serviceable, and it has simple stuff like carburetors and points.
Yeah.
You don't want anything too high tech.
No fuel injection.
I don't think so. So look, buy the thing there.
Okay.
And like I said, get the biggest, oldest, ugliest thing you can get.
Okay.
How long do you expect to spend there? Like forever?
No, we're going down for 3 months. Come back for the summer where I have to work to earn enough money to pay for what we just built.
Yep.
And then go back in the winter.
Oh, so you're planning return visits every year until finally someday when you make friends with the monkeys, you'll be able to stay for like forever. Okay. Well, Barbara, it sounds exciting to me, and I admire your courage. That's what they call it.
Good for you.
And please keep us posted if you can.
I will indeed.
And if we can be of any further assistance, don't hesitate to call.
Thank you ever so much.
See you, Barbara.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. Man.
Wow. That's courageous, isn't it?
See that? I mean.
And what do we do?
What do we do?
We go for cappuccino. Come on. Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion Berman.
You forgot Pumpkin Lips.
Pumpkin Lips. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his triumph at the West Tisbury Weight Watchers Worcestershire Wheatgrass and Water Diet Way Off, is John Bugsy Lawler.
Who's our public opinion pollster?
Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted, of course, by statistician.
Funny you should ask.
Assisted by statistician Marge Olvera. Our customer care representative is, guess who? Hey, would you buzz off? Our long-distance truck driver is Etienne Wheeler, and our solicitor of new ideas is Obi Quiet.
Yeah.
Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by our staff librarian, all been heard before. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. Our computer hardware specialist is C:\Backslash. Our chief benefactor.
I like him.
Is Myra Chunkle. The president of the Disgruntled Hatchback Owners Club is Ivana Trunk. Our Russian chauffeur is Pekov and Dropov. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter.
Who's our chief counsel?
From the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to CIA operatives posing as drunken accordion players in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click & Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1501, download other time-wasting episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, our tips for taking care of your car in the winter.
That's right, when it's so cold out that your ball joints are chattering. Some different rules apply, and we've laid them all out for you in an article called Car Talk's Winter Driving Tips.
Like tip one. Move to Puerto Rico.
Indeed. And we do have some useful tips, too. Check out all of our winter driving tips all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the lost city of Atlantis decides to stay lost for a few more millennia, whenever we say it, this is NPR.